Now, we're going to talk about science today. Science is certainly a controversial topic in the news. Now, this is probably made worse by the last 2 years, right? We've got the pandemic, we've got vaccines, we've got all this stuff that's going on, but this is not like a new thing, right? This idea that science is a controversial thing. We can even go back to the 50s I was listening to a podcast about the tobacco industry. Very interesting, the ways that the tobacco industry really obfuscated and confused a lot of the scientific endeavor around smoking. This is not a new thing. People want to live the lives they want, and we use science either to justify that or to say we shouldn't. We do that. We've done that for as long as we've been alive. So, at least in the news and media, even more specifically, science and religion have been at odds for some time. Now, way back at the beginning of the series, I limited us to topics. There are some topics that are controversial today that I'm not going to talk about in this series. And you're like, why? I thought you were going to talk about controversial stuff. The limiting factor of this series, topics that, if misunderstood by the Christian, could or would lead to sin. There's a lot of controversial things in the news that are not that. There are things that the culture cares about, that we care about politically, we care about as matters of governing our nation, we care about as matters of earthly existence and life. But I am primarily concerned with what is going to lead a Christian to sin. Now, science is one of those things. Whether you know it or not, how you engage with, and I'm going to use quotes here, science, the big word science, whether you know it or not, how you engage with a human pursuit of knowledge impacts how you spend your money. It impacts your health and wellness because you're going to make decisions about how to live and what sort of things are healthy for you. It's going to impact your mental well-being. And most importantly, misunderstanding God's intent for scientific endeavor can cloud or hinder our evangelism and worship. This matters as we think about how Christians are to engage with the lost, right? So, what does the Bible say about science? Broadly speaking, of course, the Bible doesn't use the word science, right? At least our English word science. Broadly speaking, if we think about what science is, the observation and categorization of the natural world. That's it. That's what science is. Now, this is the most broad definition we could use, which makes it the least applicable. But this idea of trying to understand the natural world. That's what science is at the most basic level. So the Bible doesn't talk about science in the same way that we think about it, but people were trying to do that, right? People are trying to categorize and understand and figure out how this world operates and this world works. Maybe the Bible doesn't use the word science, but there are people in the Bible that are doing that. And more specifically, we think about modern scientific endeavor. We've bound several sort of rules of engagement on it that have been used in different cultures throughout history to certain degrees, right? We got the scientific method of the hypothesis and the testing and the experimentation and all of those different things. Peer review, which is a big one that for a while wasn't really a thing, but now we really stress the idea. Scientific papers and publications and experiments have to be subject to peer review. That is, other scientists have to look at the information and say, well, you did something wrong here, or you know, this looks pretty good. And before that has to be, that process has to be done before something can be published for the public. But really, replicability, and I've got this three times, replicability in our modern scientific endeavor. A thing is not considered to be true about the natural world unless that experiment can be repeated, that results can be replicated in other experiments as we're thinking about how do we understand the world, right? Now, as we see in these basic ideas, there's nothing in this that is objectionable from a biblical perspective. The idea that we are going to perform experiments in the natural world to discover any number of subjects, any number of ideas. We can talk about gravity, we can talk about mathematics, we can talk about medicine, we can talk about, right down to your car. Your car is a function of science because we figured out that if I mix certain chemicals, they make an explosion, and if I arrange the engine in such a way, that explosion is going to make the pistons move, right? And if I can connect the pistons to a system of the axle and the wheels, right, then I can make the car go. That's all science. Because we have figured out some of how the universe works. There's nothing objectionable about that in the Bible. But unfortunately, there is some difficulty here. Because in our culture, the word, big, bold word, right, science, is not just a pure pursuit of understanding. It's used to justify all kinds of political and individual behaviors, right? And we come back to the original idea. People use this, and it's not just us, it's every culture throughout history, has used their understanding of the natural world to justify governing a certain way, living a certain way, punishing certain groups of people, elevating certain groups of people. And for us, a lot of it, unfortunately, just like every other aspect of our society, is driven by money. So what's going to be researched? That has some profitability, right? Well, that's not everything about the universe. Not everything about the universe can be made profitable. So that affects what research gets done. It affects what sort of experiments get run. It affects what sort of publications get put out into the world, right? So it's not just this pure intellectual pursuit of knowledge, as we maybe many scientists want it to be. There's all these other factors that influence how we understand the world. So we have to be careful how we engage with science, right? Because there's all these other factors. Now, again, most importantly for the Christian, how Christians, you and me, how we talk about science is going to impact our evangelism. How Christians think about the pursuit of physical understanding, it affects how we talk to the lost. And most importantly, it affects how the lost view us. Right? If we're to be the lights in the world, city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Right? How we talk about these things will affect how the lost view our God and our fellowship and our worship. Young people have questions about the world. I shouldn't just say young people, everybody does, but we think about this in particular as we're training and educating our young people. They have questions about the world, about why the way the world is. Why is creation the way that it is? Well, how am I going to answer that? I could do the cop-out because God made it that way. That's not really the answer, though, right? That's not what they're wanting. That's not what they're seeking. Yeah, but why did God make it that way? Why does it work this way? Well, I'm going to understand that in large part through science. And if I'm afraid to talk about science, what are the young people going to do? They're going to go find those answers somewhere else. Won't be from me. Won't be from the church. Because the church won't give them the answers. So they'll go find it somewhere else. People who are ignorant of God and our culture, people who are ignorant of God and the Bible, they think that the Bible contradicts science. And if we're not willing to engage on that level, they will continue to think so. Unless I and you and me are willing to think about scientific things and how that supports the Bible and illuminates biblical ideas. But if I'm not willing to engage with that, those people who think the Bible contradicts science, they're never going to know any better because I'm the one that would teach them. You are the one that would teach them that, unless you're not willing to engage on that level. Many Christians, unfortunately, demonstrate a fearful attitude about science. And ultimately, why would you be afraid of science? Because you are not sure that what you think is true. That's why you would be afraid of it. If we were sure that our understanding of creation is accurate, why would I be afraid of trying to understand the natural world? So, we're going to break this down into three ideas today. The first one, we must recognize that God designed the universe in an understandable way. He could have done it differently. He could have just made everything chaotic, right? He could have done that. He didn't. He clearly organized and designed the universe in a way that is understandable, and he expects us to pursue that understanding individually and as a species, which is why we read Genesis 1. We're going to go back a little bit further than what was read in the scripture reading to a passage we've returned to several times in the series. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion." That word dominion, very important. over the fish of the sea, the birds of the heavens, and over the livestock, over all the earth, every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. Again, we've talked about this in several of these series, several of the lessons of this series. God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. And God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. And this other word that's very important, subdue it. How am I going to do that? I'm going to do that by understanding it, right? Understanding this world and what God has made to exercise control over it. That's what I do with my car. I exercise control over the fundamental forces of reality. To do a very mundane thing, I want to go a little faster. I want to get somewhere a little bit quicker. My phone, doing that too, right? I can call anybody. I could call people in other countries with this. This thing is such a marvel, really. Think about what this is. I have, I don't know, if all of human knowledge, 90% of human knowledge at my fingertips right now, because I understand how electricity works. I understand, well, not me personally, but as a species, right? We understand how electricity works. We understand how certain materials put together to make this plastic and metal and the silicon in here and all the different things, because I'm subduing, exercising control over the earth. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the heavens, over every living thing that moves on the earth. And God said, behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the face of the earth, every tree with seed and its fruit. You shall have them for food, every beast of the earth. Now, later on, he talks about food here from plants. Later on, he does talk about giving us the animals to eat too. Apparently, it wasn't that way in the garden, but it is that way now. I love that passage in Acts. Rise, Peter, kill and eat, because meat is very delicious. And to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the heavens, and to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has breath of life, I've given every green plant for food. And it was so, and here's the key, God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. At least at the beginning, it was very good. And God expected Adam and Eve to have dominion over creation. We can go back to that idea of being made in God's image. What does that mean? We've talked about that several times. The volition, the will. And I would suggest that part of that is the intellect. The ability to understand. Wolves are not making cell phones. Even dolphins, very intelligent creatures, they're not creating all sorts of stuff. We, uniquely in creation, have the ability to understand what God has made. That's what I think part of being made in his image. So how do these go together? I'm going to use what God has given me, my intellect. And again, generally as a species, we are going to use the intellect that God has given us to have dominion over what he has given us in creation. So while the Bible doesn't use science per se, it's obvious that God expects us to learn about and understand the thing that he gave us to rule. And if I'm going to have dominion over it and subdue it, I should do that in a way that is beneficial to us, in a way that gives glory to God. And I'm only going to do that through knowledge. Modern science, of course, has imposed some intellectual and academic rigor on the process, right? We talk about the scientific method and peer review and replicability and all those things. But people have been systematically seeking to understand creation since the very beginning. This is not a new, go all the way back to the ancient Greeks, Pythagoras. I don't know if you remember the Pythagorean theorem from grade school, or maybe that was in algebra. I don't know, whenever we learned that. I talked about this in Bible class. I don't know when I learned things. But Pythagoras, he's thinking about the way math works, thinking about the way geometry works. Well, that only works because God made the universe that way, right? God made the universe that way. So Pythagoras figures this out, a squared plus b squared equals c squared, the whole thing about the triangle, the hypotenuse of the triangle, really a foundational idea in science. So it's not a new thing. This is not a new idea that people are going to do this. People have been doing this forever. Romans 1, 19 through 21. For what can be known about God is plain to them. This is to the lost. Because God has shown it to them, his invisible attributes, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly perceived since the creation of the world in the things that have been made. So they were without excuse. For though they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking. Why? God set up this creation. We can see some aspects of God in that creation. And I pursue understanding of it, but if I do not come back to God eventually in my thoughts about the universe, my thoughts are futile, useless, meaningless. Maybe I'm going to impose my will for a time, But ultimately, I will be lost, right? Their foolish hearts were darkened. Creation reveals its creator, and shouldn't we want to know more about God? Do you want to know more about God? Raise your hand if you want to know more about God. Everybody's hand should be up, except for the kids who don't understand what I'm asking. Science tells us more about God. So why would I be afraid of that? This should... What does he say here? Although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks. The more I learn about God and the way that he has created the universe, it should lead to more honor and thanksgiving. Man, I'm so thankful that God made food taste good. Thank you, Don. He didn't have to do that. He didn't have to. He could have just made us eat this nutrient paste that has no flavor. He could have done that. But he gave us creation to enjoy. And I'm thankful. God gave us our intellect to point us back to him. So, the benefit of scientific endeavor. Systematic categorization, understanding creation, that's science, should not be feared or prevented. But, of course, we've cured many pains, many illnesses. I think about my grandfather, who would have died even maybe 50 years ago. Eventually would have had a heart attack and died. This would have been what it was. But we, through our understanding of the way God has made creation, the human body, triple bypass surgery, such an amazing thing that we know how to cut the human open without killing them. And we can go in and literally cut parts of the heart. And we're going to take parts from other places in our body. He's got these scars on his legs where they literally took parts of other veins in his body to put in his heart. That is only accomplished because God gave us intelligence and people used it to understand what God had made. I suspect that most of us would not have any desire to live before modern medicine or technology. I know I don't. So what happens when Christians demonstrate fear or ignorance of scientific pursuits? Who should want to know more about creation than the Christian? Nobody should, because I know where it came from and I know what it points back to. Who should have better motivation to use human intellect than the one who knows where that intellect came from? God gave it to us to use, to subdue and have dominion over creation, to help people, to make their lives better. So when we demonstrate fear or ignorance of science, it reflects very poorly on God. Reflects very poorly on his people who are afraid to study the thing that God made. Why would anyone want to listen to what we have to say if we aren't even willing to pursue the very basic essence of creation? Now, we of course have to realize that not everything about the reality of the universe is good, moral, or the way that God intended it. We go back to that Genesis passage, the end of chapter 1, God saw everything he made, and behold, it was very good. Well, not anymore. What happens after the fall, right? Adam and Eve, they eat the fruit. He says, you can eat all this, but not that. They eat it anyway. Serpent deceives them, obviously, or tempts them. So what happens? Genesis 3, 17 through 19. To Adam he said, because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten the tree which I commanded you, you shall not eat of it. It's interesting. He doesn't let Adam off the hook here. Oh, Eve was the first one. Well, Adam, you should have not listened. You knew what was right. Cursed is the ground because of you. In pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life. The implication is that it wasn't that way before. It would have been so easy for them to just keep growing food prior to the fall. God has cursed them, cursed the ground. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, shall eat of it. You shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return. Clearly some things changed after the fall. The way that God has created the universe in the beginning, it was very good, is no longer the way that it is because of sin. Why? Well, let's read Romans 8, 18 through 23. I consider that the sufferings of this present time, which would include, by the sweat of your face you shall eat of it, it shall bring forth thorns and thistles, right? All this hard labor that I have to do to survive, well, that's part of the suffering of this present time, are not worth to be compared to the glory that is to be revealed to us. For creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God, for the creation was subjected to futility, the way that God has made the universe in the original beginning is not the way that it is now. He's changed some things. It's been subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in the hope that the creation itself will be set free from bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. I'm going to have to pick up the pace here, guys. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for the adoption of sons. Why did God change creation? To show us that we need him. To point us back to the creator that we've abandoned and forsaken. Some aspects of reality point us to the goodness of God. Food, pleasures of life, how God has blessed us. Some aspects of reality point us to our need for God. We had it great in the beginning and we abandoned that. Now God's subjected some things to futility, made things not the way they should be. And we know, of course, that the curse of free will and intellect, if I have this to pursue the creation, the curse of that is I'm free to use that to pursue evil if I want. So we've become, in addition, much better at alleviating suffering. Science has enabled us to more efficiently cause suffering on a hitherto undreamt of scale. Suffering on levels that ancient people could not imagine because we figured out how to subdue the earth and bend it to our will for evil purposes. So the problem is not that the pure pursuit of knowledge, right? But why it's pursued and what that knowledge is used for. So our engagement with science must not be naive, right? We can't just think that everything that humans produce in scientific endeavor is right or good, obviously. And we know that even at the most basic level, some things about creation are not right and good anymore, because God subjected them to futility. So, some questions as we consider science. Any scientific thing that you engage with, does this knowledge explicitly contradict anything in Scripture? That's the first question, right? First question. Why do we ask that? Because human understanding changes over time. We're not perfect. We make mistakes. We get things wrong, right? It wasn't even that long ago that people thought that the earth was the center of the universe. It wasn't that long ago. That was a scientific thing. We did studies, and I thought that must be it. But we learned more, and we've realized that things are different. So if the question, if we find knowledge that it is contradicting things in Scripture, one of the things might be, we just haven't figured it all out yet. But it could be what? Maybe there's a different understanding of the Bible, that I misunderstood Scripture. That happens, I think, sometimes too. That we misunderstand God's word and we think there's this contradiction between the way that God has made the universe and what God has said in the Bible, and it's just because I didn't understand what the Bible was saying, really. What are the alternatives? We have to ask ourselves. But we get a little trigger happy in this regard. Knowledge about the universe that we think contradicts the Bible that doesn't really at all. The best example, not the best, but one that I have been recently studying in my own personal study is homosexuality. Which God is, we talked about this a couple weeks ago. God has condemned that behavior. For a long time, Christians have really pushed this idea that it's just a choice. It's not just a choice. The research, and I have a book you can read if you want, pretty clear as more studies are done on human sexuality, that homosexuality is not just a personal choice. It is baked into the physiology of the brain. It just is. And the more that we read and the more that we study, the more that we find out, the more that I personally research about the scientific studies, the clearer that becomes. Now, does that mean that God was wrong to say that it was a sin? No. There's a lot of things about reality that are not the way they should be, right? Because we live in a fallen world. We live in a world that is not the way God intended it to be. And God expects all of us to subject our desires to his will, right? We talked about that a lot in our study of human sexuality. So Christians, as we're thinking about this, as we're thinking about evangelism, we do ourselves a disservice when we deny what is fairly clear in the scientific literature. And there's a lot of details to that we could go into. If you want to talk about that, we can. So what we have to do then, we know reality is the way that it is. How do we encourage people to submit to God's will in light of how reality is? in light of the way the universe is working? How do we encourage people to submit to God's will for their lives? How do we ourselves, maybe you struggle with this, I don't know. But how can you submit to God in this area of life, which, again, as we said many times in our study of human sexuality, not fundamentally different than any other area of life? God expects us to subject our earthly desires to Him, even if it's homosexuality or whatever, anything you want to put in there. So, does this information help me, we're thinking about science, help me live a happier, healthier life? A lot of things about reality we've figured out to subdue and have dominion over. And if there's no biblical prescriptions against it, why would we not do that? Science has shown us that the universe operates this way. We can have better lives this way. And if there's nothing in the Bible against it, why would I then deny that? I'm going to get in trouble here thinking about vaccines. Again, the scientific literature, you can spend hours and hours studying it. Pretty clear. Helps us as a society. But we deny that. And there's nothing in the Bible against vaccines, right? Nothing that God cares about one way or the other, really. We're just denying it, and there's a lot of reasons. We're not going to get into that. Ways that we have figured out how to subdue creation. In this case, how to subdue, literally, how to subdue diseases. We figured out how to subdue them, how to keep them from doing things that we don't want them to do. But we just deny that for any number of reasons. Finally, does this idea have any moral implications? There's some scientific information that, even if it's not specifically addressed in Scripture, does have moral implications, or can it help me live a more holy life? We have to ask these things. Finally, we have to remember, not everything about reality can or will be discovered through scientific endeavor. We can understand a lot. We'll never understand all of it. We can never, through the categorization of the natural world, understand all that God has in mind for us. There are limitations here. Limitations in how it's used, limitations in just the literal, how much can we know? We can't know everything. So as we think about human purpose, human will, human life, we're thinking about how can we live the best possible lives. Science helps us in a lot of ways in that. But there are things that science cannot tell us because of the limitations of science, right? Science is the categorization and understanding of the natural world, what we can empirically experience, see, touch, taste, smell. Sometimes I can't see them with the naked eye, so I've invented a microscope to see the very small things, but still empirical, right? Things of this reality. Science cannot tell us anything about that which is not physical. For that, we have to rely upon a non-physical source of information, which would be what? 1 Corinthians 2, 6 through 16. Yet among the mature do we impart wisdom, although it is not a wisdom of this age or the rulers of this age, who are doomed to pass away, but we impart a secret and hidden wisdom of God, which God decreed before the ages for our glory. None of the rulers of this age understood this. They did not get the things of the Spirit of God. If they had, they would not have killed Jesus. But they didn't get it. As it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, what the heart of man, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him. It is not a thing that we can sort of reason out in physical ways. See it, hear it, figure it out. We can't do it. What God has prepared for those who love him. These things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. Who knows a person's thoughts except the spirit of that person who is in him? The implication, nobody. So also no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given to us by God. And we impart this in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual. The natural person, and we use the word natural here to think the person who only thinks about this world, the person who thinks this world is all there is, the person who does not have any concept of eternity, cannot accept the things of the Spirit of God. They are folly to him, foolishness. How many people do you know that think that Christianity is dumb? Maybe I'm the only person who know people like that, that think that Christianity is foolish. Why? Because they are natural. They're only thinking about things in this life. They're only thinking about that this reality is all that there is. And because this reality is physical in nature, obviously science cannot tell us things of the spirits. That's not what science is built for. So people think it's folly. He's not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. The spiritual person judges all things, but he himself is judged by no one. We have to have faith. By faith, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen, for by it people of old received their commendation. By faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen is not made out of things that are visible. Some say this is a cop-out. Why you just have faith? It's not a cop-out. I love science. I love understanding reality. But there are things about reality that science cannot tell us. Human purpose, human will, human endeavors in these deeper areas of life. So the pursuit of knowledge about the physical world is insufficient for human purpose and meaning. The world is starting to realize this, as science promised us all the answers. But people are in a malaise because science does not give us meaning. It can't. It's not what it's built for. Faith does not deny science. It moves us beyond what science can accomplish into the deeper areas of the Spirit who has been given to us by God. So denying science, this is the last slide, I promise, will not make your life better. Just going to make a blanket statement right there. Denying science is not going to make your life better. But thinking that science holds all the answers will leave you empty and devoid of meaning. Because science does not have all the answers. Only the Spirit has given us those answers. Answers of how to live a purposeful life. Answers of how to have better relationships. Answers of how to find meaning. Answers of what to do in times of turmoil and crisis, and how do I endure those things. Science cannot help you. Jesus can. Amen? So if you're here, this audience, you don't have purpose, you don't have meaning, you don't know what to do, God has those answers for you. Science is not. God does. How to live a fulfilled, satisfied life.